today as we come to the table.
And I love the way Paul kind of just brings this all together. He says, another esteems every day alike. In other words, don't pick on each other about what day you're setting aside. He said, look, every day should be a Sabbath. Paul says, I'm worshiping every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day is a day to worship God. Every day is a day to be in the Word, to be in prayer, to be honoring God, to be resting in what Jesus has done on the cross. He said, there's no difference in days. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, he observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day, or that day, you might say, to the Lord, he does not observe it. It's okay.
You know, there are certain things in life that are absolutely worth fighting for. And then there are things that just need to be let go. Sometimes it's easy to blur the line between the two. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in fighting for how we do things and forget why we do them. In Pastor Mark's teaching today, we learn from the Apostle Paul that it wasn't so important which day the church worships on, but the important thing was that we take a day to worship. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath day was a shadow of the rest that would come through Jesus. Now that he's come, don't you think we should put our focus on him? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 21, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Remember when Paul was traveling around and all the Gentiles were getting saved, the Jews were saying, hey, they need to follow the law. They have to follow the Sabbath law and they need to get circumcised and they need to do all this. And Paul said, wait a minute. He says, look, these guys are getting saved and they don't know anything about the law, which proves you don't have to follow the law to be saved. How did God save them when they're not following the law? So we shouldn't lay this burden on them and not put things on them that we're trying to be freed from and have been burdens from us. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. And so when they all came together there in Jerusalem, they said, well, what are we going to tell the Gentiles to do? Now, if the Sabbath had been something that God wanted us to be following in the legalistic sense of the Bible, it certainly would have been mentioned here as God moved in the hearts of the disciples in the early council there in Jerusalem to say, this is what Gentiles need to do. But I want you to note what they told the Gentiles that was important for us in God's church. Acts 21 verse 25 says this, but concerning the Gentiles who believe, we have written and decided that they should observe no such thing, that is following the law, except that they should keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. Again, he says, beyond that, they shouldn't notice no mention of the Sabbath. Now, again, this is not saying this is not part of God's command. It's not saying it's not a part of who we're to be as followers. They're making the point, Jesus has now fulfilled that. And now is where we look in Romans 14, where Paul is now dealing with trying to, again, work in the heart of the Hebrews of that day, the law followers, as well as the Gentiles to bring the family together. And Paul's in the middle of going like, guys, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's bring everybody together and let me explain to you how we are family and how God views this. And now we take up in Romans 14, verse 1. He said, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things. Again, remember the problems it would be at the church potlucks when all the Gentiles were bringing pork. And all the Hebrews were going, oh, you'll get back. I mean, seriously, these are the real issues they were dealing with. He said, now, leave everybody alone. Don't judge each other. Look what he's saying. But he who is weak eats only vegetables. He's saying, you know, there's meat, there's going to be vegetables. Everybody relax. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Don't judge the Jews because they won't eat what you're eating. And he says, let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. So Jews, don't you be judging the Gentiles. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he'll be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. You know, these guys, hey, we're supposed to worship only on Saturday, the Jews would say that are saved. The Gentiles are going another day. They esteem every day alike. We know looking at the scriptures, the early church started worshiping on Sunday. Why? Because that was the day that Jesus resurrected. And how do we know that? It's in multiple places in the New Testament. One quick example, when Paul wrote to the church for a collection that he was taking up from the Gentile church to the Jews in Jerusalem, he said, when you gather together on the first day of the week, be sure and take up a collection for the Jews in Jerusalem, which means they were gathering on Sunday. And again, the reason we know historically they did that is that's the day the Lord was raised from the dead. He says, look, half of you guys, if you want to keep that same picture of half and half here of Jews and Gentiles, he said, half of you are convinced that, you know, Saturday's the day to do it. The Gentiles, it never was Saturday. You never knew that. You'll pick any day you want to seek God. And I love the way Paul kind of just brings us all together. He says, another esteems every day alike. In other words, don't pick on each other about what day you're setting aside. He said, look, every day should be a Sabbath. Paul says, I'm worshiping every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day is a day to worship God. Every day is a day to be in the Word, to be in prayer, to be honoring God, to be resting in what Jesus has done on the cross. He said, there's no difference in days. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, he observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, or that day, you might say, to the Lord, he does not observe it. It's okay. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, maybe your pork and your things, to the Lord he does not eat, and he gives God thanks. None of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, because of all this, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. What he's saying is this, look, Gentile side of the church, don't cause your brothers over here to stumble. If you know they don't like pork and you're free to eat pork, don't bring the ham to the potluck. Not because you're not free to do it, but do you love them? If you love them, then don't do that. And over here, you're telling them that they're in sin because they don't worship on the day you've set aside. Stop it. They don't know anything about that. They were never raised in that. They were never trained that way. God has accepted them. They're clean. Look, I'm bringing it together already. Again, Paul goes on to make this point. So far, Paul, because he was dealing with all the Hebrews and all the things they were doing, Paul goes on to talk about not judging each other concerning foods and religious festivals. That is the Feast of Israel and the Sabbath. Listen to what he says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. He says, and you being dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements. There's the law that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Now, here's the powerful verse. Look what he says here in 16. So let no one judge you. Now, by the way, this is, don't you let it happen. If they try to do it, stop it. Let no one judge you in food or drink, whether you can eat whatever's in or out of the, you know, whatever you want to eat. Nobody judges you in that. Or regarding a festival, if they want to, you want to observe the feast, God bless you. But don't get on anybody else that's not observing them. Or a new moon, that's when the month would start, the religious month, or Sabbaths. Do not let anyone judge you based on a Sabbath. Here's why. Which they are shadows of the things to come. They're a shadow. They're not the real thing. It'd be like going into your house and you know, following men, your wife comes in and you're kissing her shadow on the counter. What are you doing? You know, I'm right here. Well, but I know the shadow is what I'm talking about. Don't follow the shadow. Follow the one that makes the shadow. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. He's our rest. And he's saying, look, don't judge each other based on this. All this is a shadow, but the substance is of Christ. Now, the amazing thing about this is somebody is blinded by growing up religiously. And again, remember, listen, I have mercy on people that come from different backgrounds. Some of us come from backgrounds of very strict religious upbringing. And if God begins to show you, well, maybe really that isn't in the Bible the way I'm doing this, it takes a long time to work out of that. I'll use Peter again as an example. He followed Jesus around for 3 to 3.5 years. And before he could even be used to reach the Gentiles in his fullness, God had to give him a vision. It took a vision from heaven to say, Peter, it's okay to eat a ham sandwich. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. It's one of my favorite verses. But either way, it's okay, right? But then you have, again, it depends on what side, but then some of you that come from a side that's just, you're living just so wild in the world, and now God says, now I'm gonna bring boundaries into your life. Everybody has to find that place where God brings us into this place of balance. But he says, don't let anyone lay a trip on you. It's amazing how when people have that in their mind, it doesn't matter what scripture you read to them, it doesn't matter how clear you show it to them. I taught this at one point, let no one judge you, and somebody came up to me right after the teaching and started judging me. And said, you know what, you're because of this. And I said, didn't you just read, don't let anybody judge you based on festivals or new moons or Sabbaths? What part did you not hear? But they don't listen. They don't hear because there's a blinding factor to religiosity. It's a blinding. When you say, God, open our eyes. Listen, this is not an open door to say, live free and just do whatever you want. But say, God, you show me in your word. How am I supposed to live? What am I supposed to do? And again, herein lies the reason why the Sabbath was a sign. It was a shadow of things to come, pointing to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who is our rest, and him dying on the cross, he fulfilled the Sabbath law, and now we're not under the Sabbath law, so to speak. Well, again, this means that those who try to follow the Sabbath today, they don't understand what it means or what its purpose was. Again, nothing wrong in having a certain day you worship. I'm not getting down on that. You're free in Christ. Go for it. But again, to put it on everyone else that somehow you're in sin or it's the mark of the beast because you're worshiping on some other day, it's nonsense. Listen, by the way, for those who say they're following the Sabbath, you may try this approach. Again, just to try to see if you can't reach them and set them free. What they don't understand, a lot of people that say I follow the Sabbath, they don't know their Bible good enough to know that what the Sabbath law entails. Again, it reminds me of Paul in Galatians saying, do you know what you're saying? You really want to follow the law? Let me tell you what the law says. If you're going to follow any of it, you've got to follow all of it. And now you're trying to follow away man's way to get to heaven rather than resting in God through the cross. Here's what the Sabbath law declares. I'm going to give you the Sabbath law in a nutshell. You have to take every seventh day off on a Saturday, and you have to take every seventh year off of work. Every seventh year, you're clapping. Yeah, that's right. Some of us aren't working much anyway. No, I'm just kidding. Every seventh year you take off of work, which would be a fun thing, actually. But then get this. Over a 50-year period, that's 7 years you have to take off from work if you're truly going to follow the Sabbath. And then on the 50th year, it's a Jubilee, which also falls under the Sabbath law, which means over a 50-year period, if you're not taking 8 years off from work, from your job, you're not following the Sabbath. So you may make a stink about what day people worship God, but you're not following the Sabbath either. If you're going to follow the Sabbath law, like Paul said, you got to follow all of it. You can't go part way. You're all in, all or nothing. And then Paul in Hebrews, remember, fussed at the Hebrews saying, look, you're trying to use the law to get right with God. Stop it. Run to the cross. Run to Jesus. He is your rest. And again, as we said, this doesn't mean there's not a practical meaning for the Sabbath today. We need that rest. And it is a beautiful picture that God gave us in the commandments of the rest that we find fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Now, that's the intro. For the next 2 hours, just kidding. But now in Matthew chapter 12, with that setting of the battle the Lord was facing, and again, he was following the Sabbath law. They were all following the Sabbath law. This is prior to the cross. Okay, but notice what happens here. He's still dealing with those that were the Judaizers. It says, at that time, Jesus went into the grain fields on the Sabbath. And again, what are they doing? They're on their way now to synagogue. And his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck the heads of grain to eat. Now, what would happen is there were paths that went through the grain fields where the farmers would walk and where the people that were passing through. So you'd walk through that. This was obviously a shortcut to get them to synagogue. And when you passed through someone's field or their fruit orchard, it was okay to eat something while you were there. The law says that. In the law, you could eat from the wheat, you could eat from the fruit or whatever. Now, you couldn't take a basket in there and load everything up, because then you'd be stealing from your neighbor. But if you're walking through to grab some grains, to grab some fruit, it was just a great blessing of the Lord to do that. So they're walking through these grain fields. They're pulling the grain, and what you'd have to do is you'd pull it and you rub it in your hands like this, because you separate, you know, the wheat from the chaff, and it would fall down, and then it makes this kind of a chewy substance, almost like chewing gum and tasty. You could eat it. Again, bread that's not been processed, if you will. And so that's what they were doing. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. And he basically says who? You know, you guys are the word of God. So they're getting toward the synagogue. Imagine the scene, and there stand a bunch of Pharisees watching them coming to synagogue. It'd be like if everybody's out in the parking lot, and here comes Jesus and the disciples, and they're grabbing some grains. And the reason they said they were breaking the law is because if you picked wheat, they said that was threshing. And if you rubbed it in your hands, that was winnowing. You weren't able to do any work, any threshing, any winnowing, if you will, on the Sabbath day. And they had all these just amazing, just litany of Sabbath rules and regulations that were just overwhelming. You know, the Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest. It had become a day of tension and anxiety because of the rules and regulations that the Pharisees had put on it. They had 39 specific rules you had to follow on the Sabbath. And for each of those 39, they had another 39. That was just trying to get through that day. Imagine that. And so the Lord is saying, you guys, this is not from me. You've come up with all your own guidelines, all your rules, all your things that you've done. It was overwhelming. Let me give you a few of them. Again, if you had a toothache, you know, they didn't have the modern things that we have to numb things, but vinegar apparently was helpful to some degree. You could put some vinegar in your mouth, or you could put some, if you had a sore throat, you could put some olive oil in your mouth, but you couldn't gargle it because that's doing work, and you couldn't spit it out or do any kind of spitting really where it hit dirt, because if your spit ever hit the dirt and made a furrow, you were plowing. No kidding. If you had any fake limbs or false teeth on Sabbath day, they had to come out. Now, you probably wouldn't recognize a lot of your friends on the Sabbath. You know, what happened to you, Harriet? You know, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so you had to do it because that's carrying a burden. If you had a life-threatening injury, you couldn't see a doctor till the next day. You could stop the bleeding. If you had a bone that was broken, you couldn't reset it. You had to let it sit there for a day while it just was broken. I mean, it was cruel what they were doing. God didn't do this. This is the one that may ring a bell for you. If they were walking and they swallowed a gnat, they would start gagging themselves because they had just eaten meat that was not yet bled. What kind of blood do you get out of a gnat anyway? Right? That's why Jesus said, you strain at a gnat, but you ignore the greater meaning of the law. They would literally gag themselves to throw the gnat up so they wouldn't be in violation of the law. They had another thing where, again, you couldn't walk but a certain number of days from your house. There's so many of them. This will be the last one I'll give you. But they couldn't walk but a certain distance from your house. So what they would do is they get just rows and rows of rope. They would tie rope to their house, and they carry the rope, this big, long rope, as far as they could go, because your steps were limited on the Sabbath. Then once you got to the end of the rope, well, that's still really your home. I mean, it's connected to your house. So the steps started from there. And they would do all those steps from there and then come back to there and just roll the rope back up, and they hadn't broken the Sabbath. They're missing the whole spirit behind it. Again, they're trying to follow. God says, no, this is so you can remember me and you can rejoice and rest and have a day off and honor me and glorify me. It's not about, you know, the rules and regulations and all this kind of stuff they were doing. So now they're saying, you know, they're breaking the Sabbath. You know, it's like, yeah, right. Look at verse 3. And he said to them, have you not read? Now stop for a minute on this scene. I got to explain to you what a rebuke this would have been. Again, Jesus is walking up to the synagogue. There would have been a lot of people there getting ready to go to synagogue. The rabbis were there. There would have been a kind of a kerfuffle. So everybody would have seen it start gathering. Whenever you went to a Pharisee or a rabbi and you asked them a question, they were supposed to be the educated, the learned, and oftentimes very prideful about what they knew about the Bible. And so they would invade their pride. They would say, have you not read? Like, I've read the Bible. I know the Bible. Have you not read the Bible? Let me explain from my expertise and my wisdom what this really means. And now the Lord looks at them and goes, have you not read? Ooh, it would have been like, whoa, fight time, you know. This is Friday night SmackDown. Well, Saturday SmackDown, right? Because those are fighting words. It would have made them extremely angry. Because when you hit somebody in their pride and they're not willing to humble themselves, you see nothing but anger flare up. They would have been like, we're the ones that, you don't know, you haven't even been to Bible college. We're the ones that are the authorities. Who do you think you are? Have you not read your Bible, in other words? What David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor those who were with him, but only the priest. Now, let's a little background here. Remember what happened. David was on the run from Saul. And so David runs to Nob, which is to the left of the Mount of Olives, heading on his way down toward the wilderness to get away from Saul, who was trying to kill him. David has his men with him. He goes to the priest of Nob, and they, again, have some showbread there. Why would they have showbread? The showbread were these 12 loaves of bread that they made every week, and they put it in the holy place there in the temple. And so at the end of the week, after it was there in the holy place, it represented the 12 tribes of Israel, and they put it in front on the opposite side of the menorah. So the light from the menorah would shine on the bread, and it was a picture of God shining on the nation of Israel. God always looking at the 12 tribes of Israel. And nobody was allowed to eat that bread but the priests. That was it, and their families. So then they would take it out after 7 days, and their families could have it. Well, this priest was there at Nob. He had this bread that had just been removed that he brought from the temple there with him, and they put the fresh bread back in the temple, and he goes, well, do you have anything to eat? He goes, no, we don't have anything but this showbread, but that's not lawful for you. And he's like, well, and the priest realized, well, you guys aren't going to have anything to eat. You're on a long journey. This is urgent from the king. And again, God's spirit working in the priest realized, well, you know what? I need to make sure these guys are taken care of. Certainly God wouldn't want them to starve, which is going to be the Lord's whole point here. God desires mercy over sacrifice. And so he says, are you guys purified? Have you been pure for the last 3 days? And yes, all the men are purified. Well, okay, great. You're religiously clean. Take the showbread. And he says, God didn't judge that priest. God didn't judge David. Why? His point he's making, which he's going to further illustrate in just a moment, is God cares more about people than the law. It's not about legalism. It's about people. He loves people. He loves you. The law is a guide. The Bible says it's a bus that drives us to Jesus Christ. But it's not to be put over the needs of mankind. And this is where it kind of gets interesting because, again, the needs of man we see throughout Scripture override the letter of the law. And how many people use the letter of the law to override the needs of man? It's reversed. Look what he goes on. He says this, or have you not read? Ooh, again, you don't know your Bible. Ouch. In the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and they're blameless. What do you mean they profane it? Well, they do the work of the Lord. They go and they turn the lamps on. They do whatever. They clean the place. They're working on that day. He says, and God doesn't rebuke them for that because that's necessary to serve the people, which are more important than the law. Yet I say to you, in this place, there is one greater than the temple. You thought it was heated in the parking lot? Now it's really heated in the parking lot. They hadn't gotten into church yet. And he just told them, listen, to the Jew, you had God and the temple. That was the order of things. He just said, there's somebody here greater than the temple, which means who would that be? God. He just declared to them that he was God. You talk about anger and fury. They knew what he said. I'm greater than the temple, he was saying. And again, they thought he was there saying, you're a nobody. You haven't even been to Bible college. You don't fraternize with us. You're not even an official rabbi as far as we're concerned. You're greater than the temple. I mean, the Lord is just ratcheting this up in more and more degrees. I love it about Jesus. He wasn't afraid of anybody. And he said it how it was. He said, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. That is, mercy is more important than following the law. Then you would have not condemned the guiltless. They're doing nothing wrong. There's nothing here you'll find in the Word of God that is violating the Sabbath. Relax. And then he slams it even harder on this by once again showing his deity. He says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Guys, who created the Sabbath? God did. He's saying, I'm the Lord of it. I make the rules about the Sabbath. What? We spent all these years making all of our rules about the Sabbath under God. Who do you say? What are you saying? Are you God? Yeah. Yeah, I'm God. I'm the Lord of even the Sabbath, and I make the rules.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day on this station. Say, wasn't that message great? Pastor Mark is helping us follow the journey of Jesus through the book of Matthew. And along the way, we're finding great highs and very low lows. Jesus will be worshiped by the people, but also beaten and killed by the authorities. But we know that in the kingdom of God, everything gets turned upside down because the lowest moment in the life of Jesus was also his greatest triumph, thanks to him conquering sin and death on the cross. And in the end, we will see him rise. But he doesn't leave it at that. Before he returns to heaven, he has a commission for you and me that we find in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Since we know the end of the story and we know that we're called to make disciples, let's lean into the teachings and commands of Jesus along the way. Now, if you missed any part of this message, You can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net under the Come to the Table section, or just download the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us wherever you go. And while you go out to make disciples, save another half hour for us as we'll continue to go verse by verse through the book of Matthew the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.